God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
And it's really inspiring, isn't it? Just to see how God's touched their lives and raising them up to touch others. Over the last few days, really, the last couple of weeks, the Lord put this scripture on my heart. Mark 10, verse 13 through 14 says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But Jesus, when he saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Let the little children come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom as a little child, he shall not enter in." Those are strong words. First of all, we see God's heart for children. As people tried to keep the children away from the Lord, God's heart's for the children. God has a heart for the orphans. He becomes a father to the to those that are fatherless. He has a heart for those that aren't in families. He becomes a husband to those that are widows. It said that he takes in those that are solitary and places them in families. That's God's heart. He places us in his family. But it says, if you don't receive, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. I thought of some things about children and why we have to be as little children. They have a natural faith. You know, children believe anything you tell them. They don't doubt. They have no reason to doubt it. Sometimes, you know, there's a fine line between actually, you know, reality and fantasy. They believe it. They believe in Easter Bunny. They believe in Santa Claus. We tell them, they have a natural faith. You tell a young child about Jesus, they don't argue with you about theology. They just say, yeah, of course. They have a natural faith to believe. They're trusting. You think of these children traveling, you know, thousands of miles away from home. Most of them, you know, non-family members here, to different country, different culture. You know, they don't know where they're going, what's going to happen, various cities and homes. And, you know, they don't worry about currency exchange. They don't worry about, you know, money. They don't worry about clothes, food, or any of those things. You know, they just have a natural trust. Children don't stay up all night worrying about where money's going to come from. Children are innocent. They have pure hearts. They have pure motives and thoughts. They're not prejudiced. Hey, kids are colorblind. We teach them that stuff. Come on, somebody say amen. We teach them that stuff. Kids, they're not prejudiced. They're not afraid. You know, they just have a natural trust. Sometimes, you know, they're too trusting. You know, when things are pure in your heart, you think other people think that way. I've always said, you know, Crook has more locks on his door than anybody. He didn't trust anybody because that's the way his lifestyle is. But people that, you know, walk uprightly and have pure hearts, they just automatically trust other people. We can't imagine people would think differently. Kids are innocent. Kids have a freedom. They don't worry. They don't carry burdens. Might have a few responsibilities, you know, not that many. They depend on others, and you know, they don't have to make that many decisions. Yeah, the needs are met. Love. They have joy. They're loving. They're happy. And that's the way God wants us to be as adults. He wants us to have a natural faith, to believe His Word. God says, matter of fact, to just look at creation around us, and man's without excuse. It's clear that there's a Godhead and there's a real God who made everything. How could it be any different? To just believe and to trust, you know, to trust the Lord, not worry about it. You know, the scripture says, therefore I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, take no thought for your life, and what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or nor yet for your body, and what you'll put on. Not life. It's the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither they reap, neither gather they barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his height? Or why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall I not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewith shall ye be clothed? It says, for after these things do all people seek, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. You know, the Lord is saying, trust me to meet your needs. He says, my Lord shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. He says, cast in all your cares upon Him. You know, it's everything to know Him, to trust Him. You know, the Lord gives us pure hearts, not innocence like a child, but that we think uprightly, we think with right motives. He gives us a freedom. The Lord wants us to trust Him with our needs, not carry around all these burdens on our shoulders. And, you know, of course we have responsibilities, but, you know, the God wants to lead and guide and direct us as we trust Him to live in us and through us, as we become to depend on Him and not on others, about making decisions. You know, if you seek God, God will give the decisions to you. He'll show you the way to go. He'll give you wisdom instead of being so independent. Little child, naturally, they just say, well, I don't have any problem taking instructions. Why is it? You know, we have such a hard time receiving instructions. It's pride. It's the root of all sin. Pride. My life. I'm talking about independence that's not good. We're going to do it ourselves without God. But they have a freedom. And you know, when you really surrender your life to the Lord, there's a freedom that comes into your life like a little child. There was a song that Larry Norman wrote, and it went, think back to when you were a child. Your life was free and your heart ran wild. Each day was different. Life was a thrill. You knew tomorrow would be better still. But things have changed. You're much older now. You're not happy and you don't know how. Why don't you look into Jesus? He's got the answer. He's got the answer. Listen, Jesus has the answer to your life. You know, little children are forgiving. They don't hold grudges. They lay it down. They're resilient. And they bounce back. It's amazing what children go through. I'm talking about disasters. I'm talking about loss of their parents. I'm talking about personal illness and disappointments and hurts. They're resilient. They just bounce back. They can have a joy. They can go on. You know, look at the kids that even went through, you know, the storms here on the Gulf Coast. And there's kids are in the shelter. They're laughing and playing and running. Yeah, of course, their parents, that's not what they're doing. Kids have a resiliency. That's what God wants us to do as His children. You know, with disappointments and change of plans, to trust a Heavenly Father that loves us and He's going to lead us and He's going to guide us and He's going to give us the strength and make it through whatever He calls us to go through. He loves us as His children, that we can put our trust in a Father that cares for us. God will give you that strength. God will give you the grace. Little children, just take it a day at a time. No long-term plans. Of course, God wants us to have plans, but He wants us to just take it a day at a time, just to trust Him. You know, call upon Him. Worrying about things that never even happen. All worried about this and that and this and that. It doesn't even happen. We're worrying about it. Trust the Lord. Put your trust in Him. In the Lord. You see, little children, they put their dependence on their parents and on their guardians. That's what God wants us to do. I want us to think for a moment, what happens if children are left to themselves? What happens to us without God? We can just see it the same thing. If children are left to themselves without care, without parents, without love, without that guardianship, you know, orphaned without love, they become insecure, fearful, unfulfilled, distrustful, you know, independent, disobedience, get an attitude, angry, bitter, closed, withdrawn. They have a lack of confidence, lack of self-worth, or they overcompensate in some way, or they get involved and there's various dependencies and addictions that take place, wrong choices, wrong relationships. But there's a longing inside for love and acceptance. Little children and as children grow up, it's the same thing. And that God's created every one of us to be in His family, to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I don't care what your parents have been like, whether you think they were really good or whether, you know, they weren't good at all, or maybe you don't even know who your parents were. I'll tell you, no matter whether they were the greatest parents or whether they were the worst, God's not like any of them. God is a God who loves you unconditionally, made you and has always known you and has always loved you, and His love is not determined for you by your behavior, how you did. He loved you whether you did anything right or anything wrong before you were ever born. And He always will love you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Think of the needs of children. It's our needs. They want attention, security, affection, protection. They need instruction, discipline. So do we. They need supervision. God wants to give us that supervision. We think we can do everything ourselves. God's got the plan. They need provision. There needs to be met. God wants to give that provision. If we'll put Him first and trust Him, watch what God will do. Little children need appreciation, unconditional love, acceptance, an affirmation. So do you. And that's what the Lord promises to give anyone that will come to Him. Galatians says that the Lord Jesus Christ came, He was born, became one of us to redeem them that were lost, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It doesn't mean that we're not real genuine members of God's family. That's just a legal adoption through attorneys. The word there for adoption in the Greek means that we're placed as adult sons and daughters with every right. When you start off, you don't have probation. You know, God says, I'll put you on probation a while and see what I'm going to do for you. Immediately, when you're born again, you become a bona fide member of the family of God. You have every right, every privilege that everyone else in the family of God does, whether they've been a Christian for 50 years or for 5 minutes. And this is because you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Crying, Abba, means Papa, Father. Therefore, there are no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Here again in Ephesians, it says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. I read this morning. that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure, the good pleasure of his will. It's amazing how many people don't really understand the difference between religion and a real relationship between God, a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I went to church for years until my parents couldn't make me go anymore, until I moved out of the house, through high school. I never met Jesus. Matter of fact, there weren't very many people in the church that knew Jesus. I don't think the pastor knew Jesus. I'm not trying to be funny. He knew about him on paper. He knew about him, you know, from seminary. But I really don't believe the man was born again. He couldn't even tell me about the Holy Spirit and who he was. I didn't know either, so I didn't condemn him for it, because I didn't know. He knew more than I do, but he didn't know very much. Then I found out there's a big difference between religion and book study about God and really meeting him and having a born-again experience. Man, it's everything. To experience him, to know him. He comes into our life. We meet him. He lifts the burdens from our shoulders. We feel his peace and his love and his acceptance and that he just unconditionally loves us. That flows into our hearts. That all of a sudden life is his meaning, his purpose. And we know that he's there and we know that he's faithful and his hand is on us. He's going to take care of us and lead us. And there's a reason why everything's happening. And we know I have a destiny in life and a purpose now, an eternal life that God has for it. It all happens when he comes into us and we know it's true. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, he will raise you up. And it says that spirit bears witness with your spirit. You're a child of God. The spirit itself bears witness with your spirit that you're God's child. It says, but as many as received him, is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, gave him power supernaturally by his spirit to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It doesn't come by paying money. It doesn't come by doing good deeds. No one's saved by good works. It tells us it's a gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. It's a gift. He loves us so much, he paid the price himself. There's a cost. He paid it. He paid it. Paid in full. I received his forgiveness. And when I asked him, just as he promised, he came into my life. I found out that was true. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I humbled myself. I became like a little child that day. I said, Lord, forgive me for my sins. It's not about me. It's about you. Oh, I've been so wrong living my life for myself. So wrong. Forgive me for all the sins of my life. I want to do it your way. Whatever's left in my life, I want to live for you. And that day I made a decision. He was going to be the Lord of my life. You can know and experience that. That's not some strange thing. It happens to people every day. It happened to people in our services this morning at this altar. Doesn't matter what you've done or the sins you committed. Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. He loves those that are downtrodden. He loves those, you know. The Pharisees were all upset because he was eating with sinners. Man, they were the ones he came to get. The Pharisees wouldn't listen to him. The sinners, they listened. They knew they had a problem. You know, I found out when I go into prison, you know, when you go into a young juvenile detention center, they still got a cocky attitude. They think they know everything. They haven't paid the price yet, you know. But when you go into some maximum security units where people have been there for a while, man, I'm telling you, there's no pride. They're open. They know they messed up. They know God in their life. Their hearts are open to the Lord. Pride. And where are you tonight? Are we still saying, I can do it my way, or we're saying, I need the Lord in my life. He's got the plan. How are you going to find God's plan on your own? He knows what he has for you. He knows why you were made. He knows where he wants you to live. He knows the vocation he has for you. He knows who you're going to marry. He already knows your kids' names. If you'll trust him and make the decisions he wants you to make instead of making the wrong decisions. And I made a lot of wrong decisions. Even then, God will redeem them and turn them around and give you grace and bring good out of that mess in your lives. You know? God can do it. You know, I don't want to embarrass him. I don't think of mine, but Dr. T and his wife, Susan, And it's one of our pastors on staff. She's on staff. She's the most awesome Christian lady. You know where they met? They met in a bar as non-Christians. I mean, they weren't sanctified non-Christians. You understand? And look what God brought out of that. See, even when you made mistakes before, God will redeem it and do something beautiful with your life and raise it up. He can turn it around for you. Now he's been saved how many years? 31 years he's known the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to ask him which way is better? I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. We can learn a lot from watching these kids up here tonight. God wants us to be unassuming. He wants us to lay it down, to be honest, to be transparent, not to be proud, not to be guarded, but to trust him, to know that it's true, to believe what he says, to come unto him, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, to lay it down. He'll carry it. He'll take the weight off your shoulders. Put your trust in him. It's never going to work until you do it his way. You're like swimming upstream all the time against the current. You're wearing yourself out. There's a way that seems right in the man. The end thereof is death. God's road's a narrow gate, narrow entrance. It's a narrow road. It says the world goes through a wide gate and the road's wide and the end thereof is death. It's a narrow gate. There are few that find it. I don't understand why I found it. I don't know. It's God's grace. I can't brag about it. I just know that God in his grace broke into my life and I came to know him, and I want to share it with anybody that'll listen, because it's the way to eternal life and it's the way to fulfillment now. It's the only way that you're ever going to know true joy. And fetch your heart tonight and you say, Pastor John, I've never done that. I've never done it like you said. You know, I believe in Jesus, but I've never really put my trust in him alone without my good works to receive it as a gift. See, no one's justified by good works. No one. There's none good, the Bible says. It says, on our best day, our good works are like a filthy, defiled, stinking garment before God. I found out the way I become good is to say, God, forgive me. And he gives me his goodness as a gift. And that my life now is in Christ. And God sees me through his son as if I've never sinned. Justified. Oh. You don't know what a miracle that is. You don't know who I was before I got saved. That God sees me as if I've never sinned. What can I do but live for him? What can I do but my heart to be poured out in gratitude my whole life? Come like a little child. Tonight, if that's you, I want you to lift your hand up wherever you are and say, Pastor John, I know I need him. I know I need his forgiveness. I want a new start. I want God to take my life. I want to know and have the assurance he's in my life. I want to have the assurance of his love and his acceptance. To know I'm forgiven. I mean, he'll forgive my sins. They're gone, washed away. That's right. He'll begin to unfold to you who he is and what he has for you. But you're going to have to say, Lord, I'm not going to do it myself anymore. You do it. Here's my life. I surrender. And wherever you are, I want you to lift your hand right now. When I see your hand, you can put it down. But just say, pray for me. There's a hand over here. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much. Who else? I see your hand back there. Thank you so much. There's a hand here. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, I see a couple kids' hands back there. That's great. There's where else? You just lift your hand up. Thank you so much. I see there's a little girl here. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Anyone in the overflow? Yes, I see your hand there. How many more tonight? You slip your hand up right now. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand, sir. How many more? There's another in the overflow. Thank you. Who else? You slip your hand up. I see a hand right here. Is there anyone else? You say, pray for me. I know I need him. Yes. Be honest. Don't, you know, you're not going to fool God. You know, we're all sinners. We're all self-centered. Even when we think we do good works, you know, why do we do them? What's our motive for doing good works? We want recognition. We want to do it for people to get something back. You know, the Lord gave his life to us expecting nothing back. He just because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He lets his goodness fall on the just and the unjust. Until just like a rain, he does good things to the wicked and he does good things to the righteous because he loves us. Tonight you can meet him. You can know him. You can become a member of God's family, a son or a daughter. I'm telling you, you're going to know him. You'll know him in the morning. You'll know him when you get up in the middle of the night. You'll know him during the day. He'll be there to lead, to guide, to direct you. It's not like going to church on Sunday and forgetting about it. I mean, he's going to move in. I'm going to ask one more time. You say, pray for me. I want him. I know I need him in my life. And God's been tugging on my heart. He's been preparing me for it. I see your hand back there. Is there anyone else now? You'll slip your hand up. I see your hand there. I see your hand. Yes. I see your hand. Yes. I see your hand. Yes. Thank you. Let's all stand to our feet. Please don't move around. Some people did earlier. Maybe they had to. But please, just stay where you are for a moment. I know you don't want to interrupt what's going on now. This is too important, people. It's too important. I'm going to have some of our leadership come and stand with me. Maybe you can move this chair right here. Father, I pray right now for people that have raised their hand. Lord, I saw the hands of men and women and young boys and young girls. But Lord, you see beyond that. You know them. You know everything about them. You saw them before they were ever born. You saw what they did this afternoon. You saw what they did a year ago. You see the good and the bad. You know everything about us. Lord, you know everything that we are, and yet you still love us. And you're our best friend. Tonight, I pray, Lord, for those that raise their hand. You're drawing them. Because, Lord, your word says no one comes to you except you draw them. Just the fact that they'd even raise their hand shows that it's your grace, it's your love, God, that they're doing something special in their life. Tonight, I pray, Lord, that they're not going to turn from that grace and that loving tug that's on their heart. They're going to respond to you. And they're going to meet you tonight. They're going to find out that it's true. And it's much greater than anything I've been able to share as they meet you and experience you tonight in Jesus' name. I'd like for any other elders we have in the church to come and come kind of stay toward the center. And if you raise your hand, I want to invite you to come to this altar. I'll tell you why. Not because I want to embarrass you, because I wouldn't do that. But the Bible says to get saved, you believe in your heart, confessing with your mouth. It says, if you will confess him before men, he'll confess you before the Father. It says, if you deny him before men, he'll deny you before the Father. Salvation comes when you say, I was wrong, you were right, I'm getting off the throne, you're going to rule my life, I'm not going to rule it anymore. When you lose your life, you'll gain it. And that's why coming means everything. So wherever you are, they're coming. Praise God, wherever you are, you come on right now. That's awesome. And God bless you. What's your name, brother?
Walter.
Walter. God bless you, Walter. Bless your name. Who else? You raise your hand. What's your name, brother?
Terrence.
God bless you.
Rob.
Come on, wherever you are, there are hands all over the room. Why don't you come up and stand in front of some of these people that are here at this altar or stand beside them? Oh, there were a lot more than that. Come on. Go for it. This is your night. I mean, God's pulling. You need to respond where God's calling you. Just do it. Please, nobody moving except toward this altar right now. This is not the time to leave church. Wherever you are, come on. Come on. There were some little children that raised their hands. Come on, moms and dads, encourage them. Bring them on up here. That's awesome. Man, they can get saved if they've got a heart for God. He's ready. Don't forbid the little children to come to me, he said. Who else? If you're beside somebody that raised their hand, I want you to just lean over and says, come on, let's go. And you just bring them up too. Matter of fact, why don't you just turn to somebody in a nice way and say, listen, I just want to ask you, do you have the assurance Jesus Christ is in your life? And if they can't say yes, I would say, let's go. Let's go up the altar. And you just lean over to them and you just invite them and you bring them up here. Would you do that? Wherever you are. Just turn to them right now, wherever they may be. Doesn't matter what they look like, even if they're smiling. That doesn't mean they're saved. They might have just got a raise. You don't know. Just invite them to come up. And come on up here. Look, all right. That's great. Praise God. Who else? Come on. That's great. That's it. That's awesome. Father, I thank you, Lord, for men and women that are at this altar. I thank you. God, no one comes to you except, Lord, you're doing it. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace that's opened their hearts even to take this step of faith. You're going to take their life now, Lord. You're going to forgive them for every sin and cleanse them. Lord, they're going to be justified just as if they never sinned once in their life. Oh, God. Just as if we've never sinned, pure, clean, a slate, Lord, that's have everything erased on it. And Lord, they're going to know you and know you're there, and you're never going to leave them, that they're the temple. You're going to move in, that we become the temple of God. You've got a plan for them that's so awesome. You're going to take those things that are broken and make them whole. And you're going to take those things they lost and you're going to restore their lives and bring them back to a place of joy and purpose and hope and productiveness and fruitfulness. We thank you for your promise and who you are. You came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. Father, I just stretch forth my hands, speak your blessing on this altar. Lord, fill their hearts with faith, with spiritual understanding. Nothing's going to move them. That they're going to follow you the rest of their life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This is one of our pastors on staff. I'm going to have you to go that way, and our leadership's going to spend some time with you, man. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you, folks. That's great. I wanted to announce to you what the offering was for the African's Children Choir before you went. The offering.